This show is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out other great podcasts at pride48.com/shows.
Welcome to the North and South of Things podcast, a show dedicated to discussion of topics important to the LGBT community and the community at large. Here are your hosts, Mark and George.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very interesting episode of the North and South of Things. I am up here in a spectacular September Sunday afternoon. The weather is absolutely gorgeous, and joining me all the way from Atlanta, Georgia, is George. Hi, George.
Hey, Mark. I am fresh back from the boat, sitting high atop Midtown Atlanta. How are things in your neck of the woods?
Well, busy as usual, but fall is starting to descend upon us. Mm-hmm. We have a little tinge of color in the trees, and we had talked about a new sort of show idea we wanted to do, and we're going to call it Roar. Isn't that right?
Yes, and so that's Lion King, right? The Lion King.
No, it's an acronym, and Roar stands for Really Old Ass Reviews.
Really Old Ass Reviews. So what really old ass movie are we going to be reviewing?
Well, we're going to be talking about Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia.
Exactly. But before we get started in that, George, I have a confession.
Yes. Let me open the confessional. Sorry, I don't have any sound effect for that.
Do you have your collar on? You know, as pastor, here we go.
I'm going to need you to say 3 margaritas and 4. Sorry.
Hey, that's my kind of penance. So my confession is, George, and I know this is a lot of my friends call me out on this, and they're like saying, dude, you're going to have to hand in your gay card because I really don't care too much for musicals.
I have just sucked in all the available oxygen in my unit, and my pearls are clutched so heavy that I might be giving myself a bruise. What?
Yeah, I know, but actually, I do have a saving grace. I am an opera fan, which, if you look at it, is an old-ass form of musical theater, right?
It is its old-ass form, yes. Now, I mean, you like musicals, you love classical music, and you love film noir. So, yeah, I think you get a pass, but I don't know, dude.
I every 5 years, I need to take the recertification test.
Right. All right. Honey, my gay card has been taken away so many times. There's just like an imprint of where it used to be in my wallet. I've lost that many a time. Fashion, decor, you name it.
So you had recommended that we take the time to watch the 2008 version of Mamma Mia with Meryl Streep and Pierce Brosnan, isn't it?
Yeah, Meryl Streep, Pierce Brosnan, Amanda Seyfried. Who else was in that? Those are the big ones. Colin Firth, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think.
Christine Baranski.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, she's great. She's great. Mm-hmm. And Dominic, what is
Cooper.
That
guy? Oh, my God.
Is he a hottie or what?
We're gonna talk about a specific scene that happens on a beach somewhere. Mm-hmm. But before we get that, one of the themes that runs through this entire musical are songs by ABBA.
And I mean, and that's the point, right? It's from the Broadway musical ABBA, right? The movie's inspired by the Broadway musical ABBA, which is a Swedish pop band. Wouldn't you have to say they're like one of the most successful pop artists of all time when you look at the universe of things?
Absolutely. I don't know a gay man of my generation who doesn't have a specific connection to and a love of ABBA.
And if you don't, you should. Shame on you.
So you should, you know, if you've got Apple Music or Spotify, go ahead and dial some of this stuff up. But I remember one of the first albums that I ever bought was like a best of ABBA collection.
Mm, yeah.
And I would have that on a cassette tape on my Walkman. You do remember the Walkman, right?
I do remember the Walkman. We were so poor, we had knockoffs. It was like Walk Person or something. I don't know.
Yeah. So I remember a young teenager, you know, we're talking about like 15, 16, 17. At this point, I kind of knew, you know, that I was like, no, you know, boys are really kind of my thing.
And this music is fabulous.
and it is fabulous. And their shows were awesome. The concerts that they give were very glamorous. And so I would be sitting there in the middle of the night listening to ABBA, you know, Gimme, Gimme, Gimme a Man After Midnight. That was like my theme song for years.
I love it. I love it. Gimme, gimme.
That's right. I mean, those sweeping orchestrals, the phenomenal bass, the catchiness of the tune, and just the raw emotion of this desire.
Yeah, yeah.
And it all comes out in Mamma Mia.
Now, the movie Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, right? Also based on a lot of ABBA songs, right?
Correct.
And which I incorrectly attributed ABBA to, you know, that Australian group ABBA. How embarrassing for me. How embarrassing for you, George. Of course, they're a Swedish rock band. Apparently, they also once won the Eurovision contest, right? Mm-hmm. Which I also mistakenly thought was a glass repair contest for some reason. I'm kidding. I didn't really know about Eurovision until just a few years ago. That's a big thing, right?
Yeah, it's totally a big thing.
All these countries competing for... I mean, like, it is the original American Idol, right? It's the original Idol competition. All the European countries send a contestant, and it goes through this huge process of getting down. And I think they won in, like, 1974, which, if you can imagine, getting your music exposed to the entire European community. I mean, like, you're a star at that point. And... So I think that was amazing. I really enjoyed Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Truthfully, probably more so than Mamma Mia. Now this movie is not without its critics.
Right,
a lot of critics. Yeah, it got 54%
on Rotten Tomatoes.
On Rotten Tomatoes, 51 in Metacritic, and Roger Ebert gave it 2 out of 4. So it's
let's back up a little bit and kind of introduce what the story is behind this movie. And it's pretty simple. It's about a young woman who is about to be married to her fiance, and they're on a Greek island, and the mother owns a villa hotel on this island. And so this young daughter wanted to have a huge white Greek wedding on this island. And so she came across her mother's diary. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know who her father is. So she reads the diary from the time and finds out that there are 3 possible candidates.
Sophie. And I love her name, Sophie.
Yeah, Sophie. So Sophie goes behind her mom's back and invites these 3 guys from her mother's past to attend the wedding. as a surprise. So, like, what could go wrong?
What right? could possibly go wrong? What Mom inviting three of wrong? Your... Sorry, yeah.
Right. So, it's a simple story, but, you know, I can see some of the criticism of this movie because, okay, here you have regular dialogue. The movie opens with people traveling to the island. Mm-hmm. And it's normal dialogue, but then suddenly they, you know, break out into song at the drop of a hat, and there's choreographed dancing that's going around, mm-hmm. and it's a little bit hard for me to suspend my disbelief.
Yeah, I mean, and so it's what percent would you say is spoken word versus song? It does. I don't consider myself an expert by any stretch of the imagination, but it does sort of. At times, it feels like it's, you know, like, sing more, talk less, or, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, it,
right.
it seems like a weird composition or combination to me. It strikes me that, but the more I watch it, the more I love it. And while I haven't seen it recently, due to some scheduling errors I made this morning, I wasn't able to watch it before our recording, but I've seen it countless mm-hmm. times. And, but each time I watch it, like, the flaws are less and less noticeable because I just accept them. I'm like, fuck it. Pierce Brosnan can't sing, but that's fine.
Well, you know, I made the decision just to, you know, to set aside that inner critic mm-hmm. and just be with the story and the music as it unfolds. And I have to say, I was entertained by this. And there were times where I would like burst out laughing.
Yeah.
At, you know, especially Baranski.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Her beach scene with the young boy.
Pepper. Pepper is the name. And I'm like going, I wouldn't mind some Pepper.
Pepper was spicy. He's this, he kind of looked like a mixed race, but clearly African-American. Well, maybe not African-American, but black, but he was very light-skinned. So I don't know if we were supposed to think of him as mixed race or maybe an islander of some sort. And he was hitting on Christine Baranski's character, one of the triumvirate, you know, one of Meryl Streep's two friends that were getting the group back together. Yeah, and what is the name of that song? Which one is it?
Well, the actor who plays Pepper his name is Philip Michael.
Right.
And he's British born but raised in the United States, England, Ireland, and Nigeria.
Wow.
He's a first generation actor who theatrically trained at the Italia Conti Academy of Dramatic Art in London. And he's a multi-world champion martial artist in Taekwondo, Shenchido, and he's a belt holder in full contact kickboxing.
That explains some of his dance moves.
it certainly does.
From Does Your Mother Know? I have to tell you, the soundtrack makes it for me on this movie. I mean,
yeah, it really does. I actually went back and have been listening to those collections of Best of ABBA this weekend because I mean it's fun music and it has this buoyancy about it.
Yeah,
and especially during that scene with Tanya and Pepper. I was like, there are so many overtones of absolutely fabulous.
Yes, yes.
With Christine Baranski. And it was like, it's like two convergences happening on the screen there. You know, this mature woman just having this beautiful young man fawning all over her. Mm-hmm. And it was like, yeah, that's nice.
So the cast rundown: Meryl Streep plays the lead character, the mother, her as Donna, and her two gal pals that she used to hang out with as a child, who've come to visit, are Rosie, played by Julie Waters, and Tanya, played by Christine Baranski, and then Meryl Streep's daughter, Donna's daughter, is Sophie, played by Amanda Seyfried. And then the three suitors, the dots, if you will.
Right.
So they, in the earlier part of the, very early part of the, like the opening scene of the movie, Sophie has found her mother's diary, and where she's describing, her mother is sort of writing her conquest, if you will, of meeting men. Mm-hmm. And but you know, she's too demure to actually write what happened in her diary, so she would just put you know, we met and it was a great night, and before you know it, we dot dot dot.
Correct.
And so those three people who Sophie invites
are her gal pals.
Yes. Bill, Sam, and Harry. Bill is played by Stellan Skarsgård. Sam is played by Pierce Brosnan. And Harry is played by Colin Firth, which is amazing.
It's a while before we actually meet Sophie's intended. Mm. And and his name, appropriately, is Sky.
Sky. Sky is beautiful.
Sky is beautiful, and he's played by Dominic Cooper, who was born and raised in Greenwich, London, England,
and knows how to wear a pair of shorts. I'm just going to leave it there.
Yeah, those board shorts that he wears. There's this scene where Dominic Cooper, playing Sky, is on the beach with Sophie, and he is just dripping wet from the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And I just will leave it to your imagination of how wonderfully beautiful this man is. But also the silly part about it is there's also a choreographed scene where all of his friends, which are celebrating a bachelor party, are also in Speedos and trunks and board shorts. And they're all also beautiful, but they have on snorkel masks, snorkels, and flippers, and they do a dance number on a dock.
On the dock, and it sort of starts on the beach, right? And they walk over to the dock, or there's a couple, there's enough. I mean, like there's 20 or more, right?
Exactly. It's just, it's part of that silliness of the movie that I think is really kind of charming.
Yeah. It is a feast for the eyes, because the actors are, I think it's very well cast. The actors are, very interesting. Some are adorably cute. Some are really sexy. It's a feast for the ears, because I think it's like eye candy. The people are eye candy. The music is ear candy, I think. I just enjoy it. It's sugary and it's delicious, right? And the cinematography, I think, is doesn't get enough credit. That is extremely well shot, I thought.
Yeah, his name is Harris Zambar Lucas. He was the director of photography, and he's from Cyprus. So
that would explain a lot. That means he knows. Yeah. So what I found also interesting was that the soundtrack was recorded to the movie was recorded, or excuse me, produced by Benny Andersson, who along with Bjorn Ulvaeus produced the original ABBA songs.
Right. Well, Bjorn
is a member, right?
Hang on a second. I thought he was one of the members.
Yeah.
Of
No. He is, but apparently he also produced. Was one of the producers.
Right.
Tom Hanks is listed as an executive producer. Rita Wilson, isn't that his wife?
I think so.
Yeah. It's a very interesting piece, and it's interesting that it doesn't get more critical acclaim, or that more people didn't sort of, I mean, I just think it's number one, are you entertained? I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Are you entertained? And I was entertained.
Right.
Let's get back to the story. What happens? So she's invited, unbeknownst to her mother, the three suitors, right, in hopes that understanding or finding out which one is her actual father, right? Because she wants her father to walk her down the aisle. Is that the one of the central points? Why she
That is one of the central points. So she wants to know who she is, where she comes from, and who her father is. And this is kind of the comedy of the story is really kind of revolves around this. So these three guys end up traveling to the island, but two of them have trouble getting there because they miss the ferry. And so what happens is Bill, who has decided to take his sailboat from where he was to this island, meets Pierce Brosnan and Colin Firth as Sam and Harry after they've met, you know, after they've missed the ferry. So Bill decides to take them by his sailboat over to the island where they're going for this wedding. And that's where they kind of find out that they all know Donna.
Mm-hmm. They've all been invited, and they don't, they're not quite sure why they've been invited, but they eventually figure out in their conversation that they all know Donna. And by know, I mean biblically.
Yes. Yeah, in the carnal sense of the word.
And then one of the things that I find funny is the daughter tries to hide them upstairs in the goat house. Is that what it was? The goat house?
Yeah, it's a former goat house, and which has now become kind of like the tool shed.
Or cold storage or something.
Yeah, cold storage of the villa. So you have all this broken furniture and odds and ends that are in the upstairs, and then you have cans of paint and plaster and tubes of caulk and tools that are in the goat house. Now, mind you, these three characters, and I think this is, you know, what can be one of the criticisms of the film is, you know, these are three well-to-do men.
Right.
You know, they're, you know, these are the mature Prince Charmings.
Yep.
Of Donna, who could be seen as a Cinderella of a type. And so Sophie shepherds them into the old goat house and says, now you can't tell Donna that you're here yet. Mm-hmm. I want it to be a surprise.
And so they hide from her upstairs. And Donna, Meryl Streep, is sort of wandering about and actually stumbles into them. They don't see her initially, right?
Correct.
And then she gets very upset and runs into the bathroom only to be questioned by her two gal pals with this.
Chiquitita, tell me what's wrong. I have never seen such sorrow in your eyes, and the wedding is tomorrow.
So I love how they mix, I mean, I find just the right sentiment in the songs to, you know, to sort of capture the moment. It's cute.
Yeah, that technique is really kind of what makes this whole thing work.
I mean, it's cheesy in some ways, right?
No, but it's total cheese.
Yeah, but it's
who doesn't love cheese every now and then, right?
Exactly. So then they eventually find each other, And then, but then they ask her to not tell Sophie that they, that she knows, you know, like, can you keep a secret? Because we don't want Sophie to know that, you know, that we're kind of thing.
Right.
And then eventually it sort of all comes out at the big party, right?
That's right. You know, they're having that kind of last big party before the wedding. And so the three men decide, you know, they figure it out. And they all decide that they each, in the, in their own way, is Sophie's father.
Right.
And they are going to be honored to walk her down the aisle at the wedding the next day.
Right. They're all going to walk her down the aisle. And
that's right.
And then in the middle of what I think is one of my favorite scenes, it's very sort of Bacchanalian, right? It's the height. Mm-hmm. It's the big number. It's the... That's when, and in the middle of the big number, you know, lots of lights and production and sound and sultriness. You know, it, well, you know, listen for yourself. And I love that, the use of that song. During, I mean, like, it builds to this enormous crescendo, and right in the middle of that crescendo, Sophie is realizing that they all think they're her father and that they all want to walk her down the aisle. It's so it's like this comic, comedic thing coming together at one point. It's really fun.
Yes. So then, of course, the drama ensues between, which is kind of a subplot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Between Donna and Sam, you know, Sam, played by Pierce Brosnan, and we really have to get this out of the way right now, George.
Let's do it.
Pierce Brosnan cannot hold, or he cannot carry a tune in a bucket.
And it needs it needs to stop. Somebody.
When the summer's over and the dark clouds hide the sun, neither you nor I'm to blame when all is said and done.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Is this the song? Because again, I've seen it many times, but is this the song that they're singing when they're getting ready to process to the church?
Yes.
They're outside. That is one of the most stunningly beautiful things I've ever seen filmed.
Right.
And it, that occurred to me, and I need to watch it again to see if I feel still feel the same way. But just that whole processional up this mountainside cliff on the coast, you know?
Right, because there's a small church that is perched on top of this... outcropping. Mm-hmm. It's like a tower of rocky crags, and there's this zigzag stepped path that goes up the side of the hill.
And it's lit by lanterns or some.
No, it's a string of lights.
Is it a string of lights? Yeah, yeah.
It's a string of lights that go all the way up.
And it's just gorgeous. I mean, it's beautiful.
That's right. It's about an hour and a half before sunset. And so, and, you know, this is a Greek island, so you have this tremendously blue sea and this this light that doesn't happen anywhere else in the world but in Greece.
Right.
And it's just, it's absolutely gorgeous. And then you have this storyline that really manipulates your emotions.
Bastards.
Exactly. So then they decide, you know, to go up and everybody has to come clean.
Yep.
And so Donna decides that none of these guys are going to walk Sophie down the aisle. She's going to do it.
Right.
And she does, you know, she walks Sophie down the aisle and they're all gathered there. And then what happens, George?
No, you're going to have to do it. No, you're going to have to do it.
Sophie decides not to get married.
After all of this.
After all of this, the drama, the tension, she decides, no, we're not. And Sky is fine with this.
And there was some hints at this early on, right?
Right.
Right. When he accused her, basically, are you doing this? Is this wedding about us, or is it about finding out who your father is?
Yeah, right. And this is not something that he wanted. He just wanted a couple of witnesses and some friends and to go off and do their thing. But Sophie is the one who wanted this huge, big white wedding. And so we come to this point, and she says no, and they still love each other and they're going to go off, you know, travel the world and make their own life. And eventually they'll get married on their own terms.
And they were, ultimately they were both very happy with this, right? It's like, why, you know, do all of this right now and spend all kind of money on a honeymoon that we, yeah, I mean, like, let's use that right. money to travel the world. I mean, like, and you get the sense that it was actually the right decision, you know, despite the fact you're like, what?
Well, and you know, this wouldn't be a happy musical if we didn't have sweet resolution, right?
Of course.
So, of course, what happens is that Sam and Donna decide to get married because Sam really does love Donna. He had, in the past, was engaged at the time of their affair. And he actually left the island, went back to his fiance, and broke things off and came back. But Donna was gone.
Right.
So, and when Donna finds out about this, she kind of comes to terms with her own feelings for Sam and decides, what the heck? Why not? Let's get married.
And then, of course, then there was the surprise about Colin Firth's character, Harry,
who he really
loves.
You know, okay, so you see in this scene, and we talked about it, you know, this huge crescendo, it's happening on the last night, and you kind of see Colin Firth as Harry, who's like fraternizing with this really gorgeous Greek guy.
Yep.
And then we find out that, yes, in fact, Harry comes out as gay. And he said, you know, Donna was the only woman he ever had, the only and last woman that he ever had a relationship with.
Mm.
So
that was, and there's a point in which in the movie you recognize what's going on. But it was still made for a nice effect. That happened in the church, right? Where he sort of confirmed it, right? And what was Bill's situation? Like, Bill wasn't, I can't remember sort of how his story wrapped up tidily.
Story wrapped up was Donna, who came into some money from an inheritance, who bought the villa and the hotel, was actually Bill's aunt.
Right.
So there was that kind of, you know, and since her aunt or his aunt basically considered her family,
right,
there was no way that they could be involved.
But Donna's friend, Rosie, played by Julie.
Rosie had eyes for Bill.
Mr. Bill. And it was after the wedding, right? When they're correct. All under this beautiful pergola of lights and purple flowers. And so right in the middle of this little celebration, this character, Rosie, one of the triumvirate, who they have this like former, did they sing formerly or were they a part of a group or were they part of a pretend group? You know, they, when they did the whole microphone thing and back together again,
they were actually part of a band together.
Yeah. So Rosie, like in the middle of this little sort of celebration, post-wedding celebration dinner, I guess a reception of sorts, takes to the tables on her feet.
If you change your mind, I'm the first in line. Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. If you need me, let me know. Gonna be around. If you've got no place to go when you're feeling down. If you're all alone, when the pretty birds have flown, honey, I'm still free. Take a chance.
So in her table stomping siren song for Bill. That was cute, right? Because she made overtures to him earlier, right? And he kind of rebuffed it, but she sort of came back, right?
That's, well, yeah, and this whole thing started when the day of the wedding, she fell into the ocean getting on the little rubber dinghy right. to go over to the sailboat.
Right.
And when she gets to the sailboat, the boys are having a conversation. This is where Harry basically comes out. To
right,
Bill.
Right.
And so Bill is dressed in an apron and he turns around and he's not wearing anything underneath this apron.
Right.
And that's when Rosie sees the full moons.
Right.
And that's kind of where the interest begins. And you know, she makes some overtures at the last party, and of course Bill rebuffs her, but then in the end he decides to take a chance on her.
It all works out in the end, doesn't it?
And speaking of the end, I have to say the price of admission on this movie culminates. I think one of the best parts of the movie is the ending credits, because
you
have this huge production of all the members or all the major members of the cast.
What was the song? Oh my God.
It's
in here. It's one of the songs played in the movie, in the early part of the movie, right?
So the song, you have this huge production at the end of one of the most iconic ABBA songs, which is Waterloo. So why don't we give that a listen?
Just love ending credits that use this.
It really is, and I have to say, despite all of the criticism of this movie, I personally am going to give it a positive thumbs up. Go ahead and watch this. It's not perfect. It's not a fantastically good movie, but you're going to be entertained.
It's just entertaining. It's fast enough pace. The music I enjoyed. I mean, I like that kind of shit. But yeah, it's worth a watch. It's totally worth a watch.
That's right. And we're going to have other roars going forward. So if there's a particular subject movie, production that you'd like us to review, just let us know.
Well, Mark, thanks for this really old-ass review.
Yeah, I know. It is. I look back on it, and I feel really old about this. But, you know, it's ABBA, which is, you know, kind of as stereotypical as it can be, as a cliche when it comes to the gays. It really is a lot of fun.
And required watching. So watch it, damn it.
That's right.
Mark, thanks so much. We will chat.
You're welcome.
We'll chat with you soon.
Take care, George.
Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of The North and South of Things. More information available at northandsouthofthings.com. Follow Mark on Twitter at Laughing Buddha. That's LaughingBuddha. And George at George in Atlanta. Our podcast theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.